You know you're supposed to work for 25 minutes and then break for 5. You know that, right? That's the Pomodoro technique, just kind of crushed down into one sentence. But do you know what physically happens to your brain's synapses during those 5 minutes? If you skip the break, you are actively destroying your ability to retain information. Yeah, that's how it works. So let's say you've been working for 47 minutes straight and your brain is already starting to lie to you. It's not telling you that you're tired. It's not even warning you that your focus is slipping and it started slipping a little while ago. Instead, what it's doing is it's flooding your system with dopamine and it's giving you just enough to make you feel like you are crushing it. And it does this right when you're actually entering the cognitive equivalent of a car driving on fumes with a fuel gauge that's broken. And that is the trap. This is why your ambitious 12-hour workdays produce the same level of output as someone else's 6-hour days. And the solution, my friends, is not more coffee. It's not longer work sessions. No, it's something neurologically opposite to everything your productivity obsession has ever taught you. This, my friends, is the neuroscience behind why the Pomodoro technique actually works and why most people are using it completely wrong.
Your Success DNA Podcast. Your success?
What is up? What is up? What the hell is up, my fellow success seekers? All right, so let's get stuck in here. 25 minutes. That, my friends, is the magic number. And not just because an Italian productivity consultant named Francesco Cirillo invented a tomato-shaped kitchen timer back in the late 1980s and built an entire technique around it. It's magic because when your brain's chemistry makes a choice, I mean a real, measurable, irreversible neurological choice about whether what you just learned stays in your long-term memory or not, or whether it gets deleted like a browser cache, like the cookies in your browser cache. Okay, so here's what happens inside your skull when you sit down to work on something that really matters to you. Your prefrontal cortex, something I talk about, it seems like almost every other episode here, it's the part of your brain responsible for attention, decision-making, and delayed gratification. Well, that prefrontal cortex activates immediately. It floods your system with norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter that sharpens your focus. It's like turning up the contrast on your television screen, okay? Alongside this, your brain also begins burning through adenosine clearance at an accelerated rate. Adenosine is the neurotransmitter that accumulates during wakefulness and then drives the sensation of mental fatigue. For the first, let's say, 18 to 20 minutes or so, this works flawlessly. You, my friend, you're in the zone. You know that feeling, right? You're nodding with me because you've been there. Your working memory is so crisp and so on point. It's phenomenal. You can hold multiple ideas simultaneously without them fragmenting. What cognitive load theory describes as operating within your brain's optimal processing bandwidth, right? You're clocking that CPU at the perfect rhythm. This is when you're doing your best thinking. This is when the solution to the problem you've been stuck on just appears like it was always there, obviously, right? Your brain isn't just working, it's conspiring with you. It feels like momentum. But then, yeah, you know where I'm going with this, something shifts. Around the 22-minute mark, your anterior cingulate cortex, that's the part that monitors conflict and your mental effort, it starts signaling fatigue to your dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex. That's your brain's CEO. That's the guy sitting behind the chair, or the gal, depending on your case, sitting behind the chair going, this is how everything runs around here, ladies and gentlemen. The signal really is subtle at first. It's not pain. It's not sleeplessness. It's like tightening. A microsecond hesitation before you click onto the next task. You don't consciously feel it. You interpret it maybe as hunger or the need to perhaps pick up your phone and check an alert or suddenly remembering that one email that you should send. These aren't distractions. These are your brain's negotiating surrender tactic, right? It's starting to negotiate with you. So here's the neuroscientific trap that most people never quite understand. And this is probably the reason why you come to my show, is for these little extra understandings that may give you just that little bit of edge to make you better. If you push through this moment I'm talking about, if you ignore the signal and just keep working, just keep grinding it out like the hustle culture seems to want you to do, your brain does not and will not reward you with more focus. Nope, I'm sorry to tell you. Instead, it switches strategies. It downregulates its own performance. It reduces the production of BDNF, which is the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, right? Think of a BDNF as the fertilizer for your neurons. It's what allows your brains to form new connections to literally wire and rewire itself based on what it is you just learned. It's something that neuroscientists call neuroplasticity in action. And you've heard me mention neuroplasticity before. When your BDNF levels drop, learning becomes mechanical. You're still acquiring the information like you normally do, but you're not quite encoding it into your long-term memory. You're just moving the data through your working memory and kind of flushing it out, he says, making his best toilet sound. After 47 minutes of doing this, you feel productive because you've been quote unquote working, he says with air quotes, but you've been learning at maybe 40% efficiency, estimated. That same information absorbed in a 25-minute chunk followed by a strategic break would get encoded at dramatically higher efficiency rates. It's a gap that researchers studying spaced repetition and focused learning intervals constantly document across all the literature that's been published. They keep seeing it happen. 25, break, encoding gets higher, right? It sounds like the magic formula. So what does that mean, Tracy? Well, I think this means that this is where the 25-minute window should become non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable for your brain because right around that 25-minute mark, sometimes it's 23, sometimes it's 27, but the average is brutally consistent, 25. Your brain reaches a biological decision point. It gets to that fork in the road. This timing also aligns with what chronobiologists call the ultradian rhythm. And I've mentioned this before. The 90 to 120 minute biological cycles that your brain naturally moves through, with the sharpest cognitive peaks occurring around that 25 to 30 minute cycle. Yeah. If each of those cycles of that whole 90 to 120 minute cycle at 25 to 30 minutes, each of those cycles reset. Okay. And at this exact threshold, your hippocampus, the memory center of your brain, which is very important for what you're trying to do, has just enough incoming data to consolidate, but not so much that it becomes overwhelmed and defaults to a shallowing process. It's the Goldilocks zone. The information is hot. It's still actively working in memory, but it hasn't been overloaded with new input yet, right? It's not too hot or too cold. It's just right. And this is where most people make a critical mistake. They finish a 25-minute work block, and they think they've earned a break. So what do? Well, they grab their phone, they open up social media, and they scroll for 5 minutes. Maybe check their emails. Maybe they text a friend or reply to a text from a friend. And their brain interprets this as, okay, the work block is over. File this away and move on. But here's the neuroscience that breaks the entire productivity gain. The 5-minute break in the Pomodoro technique has to be strategic. Not passive, not digital, and not a dopamine hit. During the break that you take, something called memory consolidation needs to happen. This is an active neurological process. It's not a rest period. Your hippocampus is literally moving the information you just learned in those previous 25 minutes into short-term working memory and then into long-term storage. But this process requires your prefrontal cortex to step back, genuinely step back so that your default mode network can activate. Yeah, and you've heard me mention this one before too. The default mode network is the part of your brain that lights up when you're not focused on external tasks. It's your brain's internal monologue, your internal Johnny Carson stepping up to the microphone. And neurologists used to think this was just idle time, kind of like brain downtime, right? Maybe even waste time. They found out they were catastrophically wrong. When your default mode network activates, it doesn't just file away memories. It contextualizes them. It connects the new information you just learned in those previous 25 minutes to existing neural networks, right? A process central to attention restoration theory. This is the academic framework that explains why genuine mental disentanglement actively restores directed attention capacity. It spots patterns that you consciously wouldn't see. It does some creative synthesis, right? It stirs things around. And this is why sometimes you get the best ideas during that non-focused work time. This is why the best ideas don't come during focused work. They could be in the shower, on a walk with your new puppy, during the moment you're not trying to actively create a new idea. Your brain is working harder during that break than during the work block you actually just executed. But it's working on using a different operating system. This is also why Cal Newport's concept of deep work, you know, that genuinely protected, distraction-free, focus blocks type of deep work, pairs so powerfully with the Pomodoro structure. They're both describing the same underlying biological mechanism, but they're doing it from different angles. We've talked about both of those here. We talked about deep work just a few episodes ago. But here's the condition. This can only happen if you physically disengage from the cognitive load.
Your Success DNA Podcast. Your success is in your DNA.
So here's what I mean. If you spend your break scrolling through social media, you're not letting your default mode network activate. You're just switching which part of your prefrontal cortex is active. You're going from the purchasing desk to the logistics desk. That's all you're doing. Your hippocampus never gets the signal that consolidating time has begun, right? That work bell never goes off. The memory remains fragile. It remains volatile, which means it remains easily overwritten. So you could actually be overwriting your learning by scrolling social media or texting a friend. What? Yes. So the actual protocol isn't 25 minutes of work plus a break. No, no, no. The actual protocol is 25 minutes of focused work followed by 5 to 7 minutes of genuine cognitive disengagement. Yeah. And the type of disengagement really matters enormously. Walking outside, where your eyes are processing novel visual information and stimuli, and your proprioceptive system is engaged. Okay. Now, this activates the default mode network more robustly than just sitting there staring at a blank wall or, you know, staring at yourself in the mirror, counting the pimples on your face. I don't know what you might be doing. It's not that you're going out there for exercise. You're not going out there for fresh air. It's literally because walking is the optimal break for memory consolidation. And if you happen to have a puppy or a dog, take them for a walk with you. They'll like it too. But now is where we're going to hit the false floor that many folks hit and they just kind of stop right there. Because even knowing all of this I just shared with you, knowing that your brain needs a strategic break, knowing that the break itself is where the learning actually solidifies and cements, most people will still fail. And the reason is neurochemical dependency. Yeah, right? We're not talking about NA here. We're talking about a different kind of dependency. After 3 25-minute blocks, your brain has received a dopamine signal 3 times. You're completing something. That's the signal it's sending. Your nucleus accumbens, which is basically your reward center, learns to crave this signal. Give me more, give me more, give me more. And it starts lobbying, like some of the folks down there in Washington, D.C., for a fourth block and then for a fifth block. Yeah, because the work starts to feel good. The break starts feeling like an interruption to the work, not essential components of the learning, but an interruption. Hey, I'm enjoying this. Stop stopping me. You're now running on what neurologists called reward momentum, and it feels identical to productivity. You really can't tell the difference anymore because your brain has been hacked by its own reward system. This is why many of the high achievers often hit a ceiling that they just are unable to explain. They're working more, but they're consolidating less. They're pushing through the saturation point where their hippocampus can no longer encode new information with fidelity. They're really essentially running on a corrupted learning system. They've hacked the BIOS, you might say, and they're wondering to themselves, and maybe even openly, why they're not advancing. Why am I not moving forward? What the hell is going on here? I'm doing the things that worked before. The answer is, of course, not to work harder. It's to break less efficiently. And that requires something your ambitious brain really doesn't want to do. It requires you to stop. Yeah. Yeah. The actual neuroscience goes deeper still. Your glymphatic system, the brain's waste removal system. I think this was first mapped by Dr. Macon Nettergaard. Yeah, I believe that's how it's in. Dr. Macon Nettergaard and her team back in the University of Rochester in 2012. And it really only fully activates during sleep and during deep rest periods. When you're running continuous 25-minute blocks without genuine cognitive breaks, your glymphatic system is operating at about, 20%? This means metabolic waste from your neurons, from your own brain, especially a protein called beta amyloid, starts to accumulate in your brain tissue. And this is not metaphorical. This is the literal neurological clutter sitting in the wastebasket. It interferes with the electrical signals between neurons. It says, hey, you can't go past here. It slows it down. It's like those guys on the road work with the stop sign or the slow sign. It makes learning slower. It makes your focus weaker, and it makes your creativity duller. The colors just aren't as bright anymore. The successful entrepreneur who works 72-hour weeks, let's be honest, isn't actually learning at a faster rate. because they're accumulating neural toxins at an accelerated rate. They're aging their brain faster. Listen to me here, hustle culture people. They will hit cognitive decline earlier. And here's where it's going to get even more uncomfortable. Because now that you know this, I mean, if you're truly understanding and absorbing this in, truly knowing this in a neurological sense, makes your identity compromised, right? If you're someone who prides yourself on your work ethic, prides yourself on your grind and your willingness to outwork everyone else in the room, this information really shouldn't be liberating. It should be threatening. It suggests that the very thing you've built your pride and identity around, you know, your ability to push through the fatigue, is actually making you dumber. It's making you weaker. It's making you less capable over time. And therein is the real trap. Yeah, sure, you can bang through it initially, but in the long haul, and aren't we all in it for the long haul, you're doing yourself a disservice. And the trap here is that stopping, taking breaks, honoring the 25-5-minute rhythm is seen as weak to many folks, especially in the hustle culture that we hear out there. Oh, just grind through it. It's seen as coddling yourself, right? It's seen as giving yourself limitations. Oh, look, what's the matter? Little baby needs a rest, yeah? But the neuroscience is unambiguous. Stopping is not weakness, it's protocol. It's not rest, it's maintenance. Your brain isn't asking for mercy when it signals fatigue around minute 25. It's asking for compliance with its own architecture. And every time you ignore that request, you ignore that signal, you're not proving that you're mentally tough. You're not proving, oh, I can do this. You're actually damaging your capacity for future learning. So the Pomodoro Technique's 25-5-minute reset isn't about fitting more productivity into your day. It's really about understanding your brain operates on cycles, not a straight line. And these cycles are pretty much non-negotiable. You can fight them. Let's be honest. You can. Some of you have. You can push through them. You can feel productive while you do that. But you're not building your capacity. You're mining it. And eventually, that type of a mine will run dry. The real cost of ignoring the 25-minute rhythm is, let's say it's paid in the gaps between your current reality and your desired reality. Yeah, you know that gap you feel, the sense that you should be further along than you are, that you should be learning faster, that you should be learning quicker. Raise your hand. Yeah, I know I've felt it too. Much of that isn't because you're not talented enough, you're not smart enough, you're not creative enough. No, that's not what it's about. It's because your learning system is being corrupted by overwork. Yeah, you're absorbing at 40% efficiency and you've convinced yourself that it's the effort that matters. I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Yeah, well, do that in 25-minute increments. The uncomfortable truth is that the people who appear to be winning aren't necessarily smarter, but they are cycling. They're stopping. They're honoring their brain's biological rhythm, even when every fiber of their ambitious self is screaming at them to keep going. Because you're either working with your brain's architecture or you're working against it. There is no middle ground, okay? So here's the thing no one tells you about this type of brain science. Knowing it's not enough. I mean, I can hand you the neuroscience about the 25-minute reset and you can nod along and listen as you're driving down the road or walking on the treadmill. And tomorrow, some of you will still grind it out for 4 hours straight because that's what you've always done. And that's the trap. The information without a system, I guess you could say it's just trivia. And that's exactly why I built the Unleash Your Success DNA newsletter. Because every week, I'm not just handing you yet another fact about your brains, about your habits, or yourself, or your business. I'm handing you a system to actually rewire the damn thing. Mindset shifts, habit upgrades, and a little rebellion against everything the hustle culture crowd has told you should be just about working hard. You don't need more willpower. You just need a better relationship with your own body, your own biology. So if you're tired of collecting insights and never installing them, go ahead and go to subscribe to Your Success DNA newsletter at yoursuccessdna.com. I'll throw the link down in the show notes so you can just click your way on over. It takes less time than the break you just learned you're supposed to be taking. Maybe even should be taking right now, okay? So here's the whiskered wisdom I want to leave you with today, and I want you to actually sit with this one, if you would, please. Your exhaustion has never been the problem. Your refusal to trust it, I think that is where the real problem lies. Because every time you white-knuckle your way past minute 25, you're not proving that you're disciplined. You're overriding a system that's smarter than your damn ego. And here's the wild part. Most of us were trained our entire lives to distrust that very signal. School taught us to sit through the fatigue. Work taught us that breaks are for the weak And so you learn to treat your brain like an obstacle instead of the best instrument you have for your success. So here's your action. And this isn't about taking a walk. I think you already got that. This one's a little different. Tonight, before you lay your head on that pillow and close your eyes for a good night's rest, I want you to go back through today and count. Just count. No judgment. No, none of that. Just count every single time you pushed past the 25-minute mark without stopping. Don't fix it yet. I just want you to see it. Because when you see it, you're right. It starts to be like, oh my God, good. He's right. I did it 17 times today. Because you can't rewire a pattern that you've never taken a minute to look at and shine a light on. That's it. That's the whole assignment. Just get honest with yourself about the data of your own day, right? And then maybe tomorrow, take a look at when it happens the most. Is it when you're with your family? Is it when you're with your side hustle? Is it when you're with your 9-to-5? Yeah, you might find a pattern that you're not quite comfortable with. Yeah, and that way you can really shine a light on it. So let's land this plane, shall we? Your brain isn't broken, and it's definitely not lazy. It's just running on a rhythm that many of you have been ignoring for years. 25 minutes of real focus, then a genuine break, not a scroll session. That's not softness. That's not weakness. That's the actual architecture of how humans learn, how humans create, and how humans will build anything that lasts. You've been mining your own potential instead of building it. Today, that stops. If this hit you somewhere real, do me a favor and share it with the one person you know who's running themselves straight into the ground trying to out-hustle their own biology. Then drop me a comment and tell me, what's your number? 25 minutes, 47 minutes? What's the wall that you keep trying to blow right through? How many minutes? Okay, I really want to know. And then go out there and apply what you learned today. Go work with your brain instead of against it. Think successfully. Take action.
Thanks for listening to Your Success DNA podcast. Whether you're starting out or you're a seasoned entrepreneur, we have the tools and inspiration that you need to take your life to the next level. So stay tuned for more game-changing advice in our upcoming episodes. And hey, before you go, a quick reminder to check out our past episodes of Your Success DNA for more inspiring stories and practical advice. And if you've loved what you heard, leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. Let's all level up our lives together, shall we? Remember, your success is in your DNA.